Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jesse will be back tomorrow. God bless him. He's running all over the country preaching the Word of God. Father Charles Murr is my guest today. We're going to be covering a topic called critical race theory. What is it and how to fight it? I think you're going to get a great education. I sure did doing the research on this topic, and it'll really help you and help your family to stand up for the truth. And I want to just mention something, and Mr. Engineer will let me know when Father Murr's on with us, but I want to mention something to set the stage for this, and then we'll get the gospel going. Benedict XVI, he's quoted in Cardinal George Pell's book, Prison Journal, Volume 2, page 170, and this sets the stage for the show. Without truth, without trust and love for what is true, remember, this is it, for what is true, there is no social conscience and responsibility. And social action ends up serving private interest and the logic of power. That's what's going on right now in our country. His last line is a deal breaker. Fidelity to truth alone is the guarantee for freedom. So I would say that is what we're talking about when we talk about critical race theory. They're not talking about the truth. Talking about error, and truth is what's going to set us free. All right, and we got other topics, examining the deep roots of the abuse crisis, if we can get to that with Father Murr. But I'd like to do the reading. Mr. Engineer, is Father Murr with us? Okay, I'm going to go ahead and do the Gospel of John, and Mr. Engineer can contact Father Murr. All right, the Gospel of John, we're going to continue chapter 17, this great discourse, Eucharistic discourse. Jesus says this, lifting up his eyes to heaven, Jesus prayed, saying, I pray not only for these, but also for those who will believe in me and through their word, so that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be brought to perfection as one, that the world may know that you sent me, and that you love them even as you loved me. Father, they are your gift to me. I wish that they were, I am they. Also may be with me, and they may see my glory that you gave me, because you loved me before the foundations of the world. Righteous Father, the world also does not know you, but I know you, and they know that you sent me. I made known to you, to them, your name, and I will make it known, that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ.
Father Murr is with us. Praise God. Father.
Thank you. Thank you, Terry.
Welcome.
Sorry, I'm a little bit late.
No problem.
Forgive me.
No problem. I forgive you, my brother priest. Father, I'm just happy that you join us, because we always have a good, lively conversation about topics that are very important to all of our listeners. Father Murr, that Gospel of John, chapter 17, 20 to 26, what is your take on that? Because there's some real deep theology here.
It is, and it would take
a whole hour.
Much more time than what we've got.
Yeah.
But there's one thing that I would like to focus in on, because I think it's probably the most beautiful definition of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost that you can get.
Yeah.
And it's in the last line. It said, I made known to them your name, and I will make it known, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. That's a definition. Mm-hmm. The love with which you loved me. That's the Holy Ghost.
Yep.
When we talk about the Trinity, mm-hmm. we're talking about these three divine persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, or Father, person, Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And I think what we fail to realize or to appreciate, let me put it that way, is that the Holy Spirit is the love between the Father and the Son.
Yep.
The Holy Spirit is the relationship mm-hmm. that the Father and Son enjoy to such an extent that the relationship eternally becomes a third person, right?
Yep.
Without beginning or end,
yep.
right? But this is so important because, and you know, so important for all of us. Any relationship, any human relationship that we have, is really a possibility of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit being there. But I want to speak particularly to mothers and fathers, mm-hmm. just right
Good.
Now
Go for
on
it.
This line, because I don't think that they appreciate that their children are the love between them
mm-hmm.
walking around and talking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is when you see a child, that child is the manifestation of the love between the father and the mother.
Yep.
The love between two persons become a person,
yep.
a third person.
That's right.
This is absolutely beautiful, and it's how we live without even realizing that we're doing it, how we live the Trinitarian nature of God to a great extent. The Trinity is in everything,
right.
and the Holy Spirit is in everything. This is the Holy Spirit. This is the Spirit that Christ and the Father send to us at Pentecost. This is what guides the church today. It's a magnificent Spirit, a magnificent Spirit, and it's real. And this is what Christ is praying for, that we be in that Spirit, just as the Father and the Son are in that Spirit, that we be there too. This is magnificent. I love it.
I love it too, and I think of the Bishop Sheen's Three to Get Married. He gives a great book on the Trinitarian
oh,
approach to marriage.
Absolutely.
And I would recommend that. If people want it, we do have a download for free. If you want to give us a donation, you can, but call 877-526-2151. Anthony will be happy to send you a link with that entire 300-page book written, but it'll be a voice. It'll be a book on a download. Hey, Father, this is good stuff. You know, we're going to be talking about critical race theory. What is it and how to fight it? But before we get to that, I'd like to bring the smartest guy into the room, Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen, full Sheen ahead. And this fits right into our show. I've used it before, but this is a profound insight by Bishop Sheen. He says, the refusal to take sides on a great moral issue is itself a decision. It is a silent acquiescence to evil. The tragedy of our time is that those who still believe in honesty lack the fire and conviction, while those who believe in dishonesty are full of passionate conviction. Father, I would just say that Bishop Sheen nailed it, because it's our topic, critical race theory, what is it and how to fight it, that we need to stand up and fight it. What's happening is when good people do nothing, evil abounds. And I will be the first to say that critical race theory is evil, and I'll give you the roots and this. I'll set all that up. But Father Mert, give me your take on what Sheen just said about the issue of taking sides on a great moral issue.
No, that's it. To not take a side is to take a side.
Yeah.
It seems like it's a contradiction. It's not
nope.
a contradiction at all.
Nope.
We are moral beings. This is part of who we are, how we live in society, how we live in friendship, how we live in any relationship.
Mm-hmm.
There's the moral ethics, morality
mm-hmm.
is part of all of our actions.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great way. We have so many people. I was just talking about this the other day.
Okay.
When I think I was 10 or 11 years old, and there was an accident of one of those big cinder bricks fell on another kid's head while we were playing. I remember 20, 25 kids all standing around in a circle watching this kid bleed.
Oh.
Nobody moved. Now I'm the hero of the story. I took off my shirt and pushed my way through kids, put them out of the way, and bandaged this boy's head up, mm-hmm. and put pressure onto the wound until the ambulance got there, right?
Smart move.
But I remember after that, because adults started to congratulate me for taking action. Mm-hmm. I didn't even think about it. I just acted.
Sure.
But I remember afterwards thinking to myself, why didn't anybody else move?
Yeah. They froze.
I mean, it wasn't that I did such a great thing. It was just, it's what you should be doing.
Yeah, it's the right
Nobody
thing.
Else moved.
Yeah.
And here, I'm surrounded by people. These were older kids. They were more intelligent. They had more life experience. Nobody moved. This is, I think, the idea that that Sheen is talking about. We somehow feel if we don't make a move, we're okay.
Yeah.
We're okay. No, we're not okay. You've got somebody who's bleeding to death in front of you.
Yeah.
What do you mean you're okay?
Yeah, well, we're...
Anyway.
Yeah, good story. It really articulates what we're going to be talking about. Race, critical race theory, what is it and how to fight it, here on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Father Charles Murr is my guest, and we're going to have more to inspire you to stand up, as Fulton Sheen says, on these great moral issues. Stay with us.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Father Charles Murr is my guest. We're talking about critical race theory. What is it and how to fight it? Today, you're going to get a lot of good information. But I want to set the stage about everything we do here. Father Murr has been a priest for 40 years. I know truth is what he's after. That's what he and I and all people should be after. What is truth? And Pope Benedict XVI had a comment that Cardinal George Pell wrote in his prison journal, volume 2. I'm reading this because a long time ago, Bishop Sheen told us in his cassette tapes in the 70s that if you want to get advice, go to someone who suffered. And Cardinal Pell had suffered. And here's what his reflection for this day. It's on page 170, volume 2. Father Murr, this is going to make music to your ears. He says, without truth, without trust and love for what is true, there is no social conscience and responsibility. And social action ends up serving private interest and the logic of power. That's what's going on right now. Here's the statement that touched my heart, Father. Fidelity to truth alone is the guarantee of all freedom. See, it's the truth that sets us free. Our Lord said that in the Gospels. So I just had to set the stage for that's what we're seeking. Everyone should be seeking for the truth. What is the truth about this or that? And we're going to ask the question, what is the truth about critical race theory? And Father Murr, I just want to say that as Catholics, all of us must be critical of this critical race theory, because it's contrary to Catholicism, and I might add common sense. And here's what I want to do is give a short definition that critical race theory is an academic discipline, and it was formulated in the 1990s. Now, it goes back to the 60s with Marxism, but in the 90s, they built on this intellectual framework of identity-based Marxism. Now, regulated for many years to the universities and obscure academic journals over the past decade, it ended up increasing and becoming a default ideology in our public institutions. That's where it's going right now. It has been injected into our government. Now, just for a fact, President Trump, he stopped it, okay? And as soon as President Biden got in, he reversed it and said, no, we need it. So you can see how clear they are on each of their positions. So it's been injected into the government, the agencies, public school systems, teacher training programs, corporate human resources departments. It goes on and on. It's basically inundated our culture. So why should we stay quiet? As Fulton Sheen pointed out in the Sheen quote about taking sides, what's happened, and then I'm going to let you give your take on these issues, about 77%, according to a Gallup poll, of conservatives are afraid to share their political beliefs. So in other words, many of the good people of goodwill are not speaking up. So Father, you have a degree in philosophy, if I'm correct. I think you got so many degrees, I can't name them all. But what is your take on this? Does that, this critical theory, race theory, it seems to be destroying any common sense out there.
You know, yes, absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more. Marxism, mm-hmm. we've had all sorts of caveats sent our way.
Yes.
About Marxism, right from the beginning. Mm-hmm. I think the first time I heard of Marxism, I think I was 7 or 8 years old. And it was Our Lady of Fatima talking about Russia and the errors of Russia. Okay.
Right.
What to explain it. But let me just do this. Marxism, to get a foot in the door, depends on hatred.
Yep.
This is something that's very, very important. It's crucial to understanding what's going on. You've got to get in and divide.
Yep, that's it.
Divide and conquer, divide and conquer, divide and conquer. And what they do is, here's the problem. When Marxism, before it arrived in the United States, Canada, or even to Europe, really before it arrived there, mm-hmm. it depended on economics. Because what they did was they would play the poor against the rich, the farmers against the city dwellers, the these against the those. But it was more based on economics. Wouldn't you like, you know, it's almost like the devil with the temptation of Eve and Adam and Eve in the garden. Wouldn't you like this? Wouldn't you like that? Why does he have it and you don't have it?
Right, exactly.
Why does God possess this? See, what God told you not to eat the fruit of this tree because you'd become like him. Do you see what this? Well, this is what Marxism is doing.
Exactly.
It's the same story.
Yep.
And what they did was they played on economic roots, poor against rich. When they came to the United States of America and to Canada and to some degree Europe, they didn't have that, because what happened here is nothing short of a miracle. We developed what is called a middle class, and which has been our glory, our fame, and our stability from the beginning of this country, a middle class. Here's the problem. You can't play the rich against the poor against the rich here. It doesn't exist, not so much. And we also take care of our poor. So they had to abandon that. They scrapped that for this.
That's right.
What can we get in that would divide? How about racism?
Yep.
How about racism? Let's go on that one. And they've done a magnificent job. I'll tell you that. They've done a magnificent job just because of something that you started when we started the program.
Yeah.
Because we don't speak up.
Yeah.
Because we stand to the sides and we watch somebody else do the saving.
Right.
We're off. We don't want to commit. People are afraid. You said 70% of people are afraid to speak.
That's
conservative. I think that's conservative, Terry.
Yeah, what's the 77?
I think it's more than that.
Yeah, probably 90%.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's just nobody wants to even, my goodness, say anything because it might commit you. This is how they're winning. I also remember a funny little man by the name of Adolf Hitler.
Yeah.
when he was beginning, what he did was, and this is classic, he started making trouble. He would send out ruffians to different neighborhoods, and they would cause a small little riot, a break-in, a fire, a this, a that. And he would cause all of this confusion and then say to people, you see all the confusion that's happening all over? I've got the solution.
Yeah, problem
Let's
solution.
Put out these fires. Yep. Let's stop this. The same people who started it would stop it. This is exactly what the Marxists are doing with racism.
Yep.
Here's the problem. Oh, it's a terrible problem. Terrible problem. Now we've got the solution. We ourselves have the solution. Here's what it is. Yep. It's amazing.
Yep.
And we're being played. Yeah.
We are. Well, Father, one example of this, and as you know, in the 1930s, they tried to do this also, and they failed with Marxism of trying to get to races. But here's an example of this being critical race theory. The Chicago mayor, Lori Lightfoot, is defending her controversial announcement to grant individuals, only journalists of color. So if you're a white person, you can't be interviewed by me. And it goes right in the face of Martin Luther King, who said, I wish we have a country where the pigment of your color has nothing to do with your communications with a person, but it's your character. And so,
well, yeah, but look at the example you're just giving us.
Yeah,
with Mayor Lightfoot.
Yeah.
Now, just stop for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Let's try to be rational just for a moment.
Sure.
It doesn't hurt too
much.
Yeah,
let's try.
It doesn't give a major headache, right?
Right.
Who's the racist with a
He is, obviously.
There you are. This is exactly it. It's amazing, but the confusion that it sets in motion is tremendous. And people react without thinking.
Yeah, and you know, this story just makes me look and say to myself, "Where is everybody? Why aren't they saying, wait a minute, Miss Mayor, are you nuts?" I mean, what I see is the analogy of the emperor has no clothes on, the old story of a little boy
figuring
out that, hey, nobody's wearing clothes, but nobody wants to say that. Well, I want to say we are using no common sense. We are not logical. We have no reason here. As a matter of fact, truth and justice are not even being presented, and they're on our side. So it seems to me we need to really have courage to speak up with the truth and not just say, oh, well, if I say something, I'm sure I'm going to be, you know, ridiculed. Well, folks, back in the World War II, when the Jews were being taken away by the Nazis, good people said nothing. And then that didn't work, obviously, and they ended up taking Catholic priests and others. And so it seems to me that if we don't speak up, then we're part of the problem. That's my take on it.
Yeah. And I would just underscore something for our audience.
Mm-hmm.
During the time that the Nazis had these horrible concentration camps, we lost 5,000 Catholic priests.
Yeah, that's a lot of priests. Father Kolbe was one of them, St. Maximin Kolbe.
Yeah, that's right. 5,000. Do you know how many 5,000 priests? I mean, that's an amazing. It's like in New York City, that has a population that I would say, I don't know, maybe 4 million Catholics, doesn't have 5,000 priests.
No.
This is incredible. All right.
Yeah.
But these were men who actually did speak up.
Yep.
Right? They actually did speak up. Here's a problem too, Terry.
Mm-hmm.
In this whole, we can have a debate. I love debates.
Sure, dialogue.
You know, you want to take one side, I'll take the other side, and let's see why do I love it? Because we're trying to get to the truth.
Sure.
And debates help us do that. Now, debates have rules.
That's right.
How would you like me to invite you to a debate on X subject, any subject, and only I'm making up the rules? You don't have any input into the rules.
Yeah.
This is what's going on.
Well said.
This is exactly what's going on.
Go ahead, Father, but I just want to add.
It only goes one way.
Sure, that's the point I was making. Yeah, it's a one-way street.
That's it.
But think about what Karl Marx.
So you can't win.
Yeah,
can't.
Karl Marx promoted the idea that conflict is necessary for progress, and that's exactly what you mentioned earlier in the show. And I think that this needs to be addressed from the perspective of what is the truth here. And obviously, people are thinking, I mean, we have a culture now that says a man is a woman if he wants to be a woman. What? See, it's this nonsense. When I come back from the break, Father, would you please share your experience at a hospital? You're doing your normal physical. And when you got into the hospital to do the registration, tell us what happened and what you said, because I think others should do exactly what you did.
Oh, I'd love to. People should get a kick out of that.
Well, they will, but they're going to also emulate you in the future. This is the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Stay with us. This story by Father Murr is a good one.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jesse will be back tomorrow. Father Charles Murr, priest for over 40 years, is with me, and he has a story to tell regarding how crazy our culture has become. But I love his story because he stood up to it with some really good points. So, Father, could you share the story that you want to tell about going to the hospital for your normal physical?
Sure. But, you know, it's I'm laughing, but it's kind of sad at the same time,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it is.
So I went to go see my doctor, who's a great doctor. She needs some lab work done. I'm fine. So sure. I went to the hospital to have the lab work done. And while they have to have an interview, a preliminary interview. And so I'm at my name, this and the other thing. We get to the point, I think, she said, and what is, I want to say this correctly. What is your
preferred, what is it? Are you there, Father?
I don't know what it is. We've got some background noise that's kind of crazy.
Okay. Yeah, they asked you what how do you want to identify? What do you want to identify as?
Yes, I said, what do you mean? What do I identify as? Well, what sex do you identify? And I started laughing. I said, you've got to be kidding me. She said, no, we have to ask it. I said, I refuse to answer. She said, well, then I'm going to have to hold you. It's something. That I'm going to have to hold you in contempt of court or something like
yeah.
that. She said, I'm going to have to report this that you won't answer the question. I said, I said, I can't believe this. I started laughing. I said, you can't tell me what sex I am. I can't tell you what sex you are. What is the matter with you? She said, no, we have to ask this because it's a very delicate question. I said, it's not delicate at all. I'm a man. You're a woman. What's the matter with you? I said to her, look, I'm not up today, this day. I haven't had breakfast yet. I'm fasting to get this right. blood work done. I'm not up to playing pretend.
That's what I love that line. I'm not up to playing pretend.
We can play pretend tomorrow after I've had breakfast,
yeah.
if you want. But I can't play pretend right now. I said, this is insane. She started laughing, actually.
I bet.
She said, I know it's insane, but we have to do this. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
And I said, I guess I do, but I don't. You know, anyway,
yeah.
it's crazy. But I'm going to tell you, let me just segue from
sure.
that into something else.
Yeah.
I was just talking to a young lawyer, right? Brilliant young man. Very proud of him because I know the journey he's taken to get through his studies and all. He assures me, he's very popular. He assures me that in the firm he's working for or with, mm-hmm. I'm not going to say where or anything like that, that he said, Father, everybody is on drugs. Everybody's on drugs. Everyone is taking drugs. I said, well, drugs, what are you talking about? Are you talking marijuana? He said, no, marijuana. He said, forget that. Marijuana is stuff for seventh and eighth grade. He said, I'm talking drugs, cocaine. Some of them are on heavier drugs than that. Now, I started thinking to myself, well, maybe that's part of the reason that everyone is able to play the game of pretend so easy.
Exactly. That messes with your mind.
Because what do drugs do? They take you out of the realm of reality.
That's right.
Right?
Well said.
And it's much easier to deal with the non-real when you're drugged.
Yep.
Or you're drunk, or you're on drugs, or mm-hmm. you're something. But you're not looking at reality. And I think there's a lot of that going around, too. An awful lot of that. I think that's a great part of the reason that it's so popular in the United States
yep.
of America, where it really hasn't caught up in other areas where people are living more responsible lives.
I think you nailed it, Father. What you just said about drugs are so prevalent in our culture.
I think it's a major component to the lack of reality.
I agree.
Yeah.
And that's why we must be critical of this race theory and these crazy things, because it promotes, all right, power and hedonism, which St. John Paul II noted prevents us from understanding the meaning of life because it stifles love. We must stand up for love because that is what God has made us for, making us for himself. And then I want to just add before we one more thing before we go to the next comment, next topic. Above all, we must have courage right now. The fundamental virtue required in our time is courage to stand up and speak the truth. Courage to withstand these knuckleheads, okay? Courage to face the mob. Yeah. Courage to shrug off the scorn and the elites. When enough of us overcome the fear that I mentioned, 77% Gallup poll say conservatives, people who have common sense, aren't going to speak up. Because courage to shrug off the scorns of the elites, when enough of us overcome that fear that currently prevails, so many people speaking out about critical race theory, then they will start falling apart. Because our courage, folks, is going to beget courage of others. Father Murr's story should give you courage to say, I'm going to do the same thing. I don't want to play games. Cut it out. Stop. The emperor has no clothes on. Come on. Call it for what it is. No, you can't tell I'm a man or I'm a woman. Get out of here.
Don't you like that phrase? Let's playing pretend.
Yeah, let's playing pretend is a great line.
Today. I've got a busy schedule.
Now, it's easy to stop a lone dissenter, but it's much harder to stop 10, 20, 1,000, a million or more people who stand up together for the principles of our faith.
That's right.
That's what Father Murr, you just did, because truth and justice are on our side. If we could just master the courage, I believe that this can be turned around. But when good people don't do anything, then evil abounds. And that's how I see the critical race theory. It's evil because it leads you away from God and it leads you away from common sense. That story of the mayor, Lightfoot from Chicago, saying that she's not going to let white people in the press department speak to her, only people of color. That's a prime example of what racism is all about when you do that, because she's pushing the literal definition of systematic racism herself, meaning that she is saying that depending on the color of your skin, that's who is going to be able to talk to me. I think that just makes no sense. But Father Murr, before I leave on to the next topic, who's somebody up in your neck of the woods in the San Francisco area, give me your final thoughts about this critical race theory.
Well, I think we're being played.
Yeah.
Look,
I'm
70 years old.
Yep.
I'm 70 years
played.
Old. Yep. I've been around a little while.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to tell you that honestly,
yeah.
I don't know, and I don't live in a bubble.
Nope.
I thought race relationships or race relations were being normalized.
Yep.
I thought there were great strides taken. I don't know anyone today who would not have a friendship with someone else of a different race because of race.
Right.
I don't know that kind of people.
Yep.
Where are they? All of a sudden, this has become a major issue.
Right.
And I'm telling you, I'm convinced that it's been planted. This is according to someone's plan.
Yep.
This is not what's happening.
Yep.
It's being foisted and forced upon us. That's all.
I think you nailed it. Father Murr, because you're up in Northern California, San Francisco area, your bishop, Archbishop Cordeleon, we've talked about, and we're going to shift gears here, we talked about what he just did regarding Pelosi, who is the Speaker of the House, Catholic, baptized Catholic, and obviously she has been very much opposed to Catholic teachings when it comes to abortion and other topics. And Archbishop Cordeleon has put out a letter in the last 10 days, and it's just been all written all over about, because he said you can't be a Catholic who's for abortion and receiving Holy Communion. And so I wanted to get your take on this, and I'm just going to set the stage, because after Archbishop Cordeleon made this statement, we had another statement put out by the Congregation of the Faith that never really got clearly articulated until Archbishop Cordeleon said, look what the cardinal said, that yes, we have to dialogue, tell them they can't be doing this. But what has happened is Pelosi, or Congressman Pelosi, she said when a person asked her a question about the Vatican coming out and saying, you know, that we need to deal with this issue, but not at the bishops' conference, she said that it meant don't be divisive on this subject. I can make my own state, my own decision on when I can receive Holy Communion. You have nothing to tell me on that. So I just want to say this to Father Murr, that Father Murr, you're a Catholic priest, and I know you've been following this whole case. It seems to me that when the bishops meet in June, I'm getting the impression from articles I've read that they are going to bring this up because, as the Archbishop said, with 60-some million people dying through abortion, we can't put this off. We have to address this issue. What's your take on all of this? I'm asking you, what did you think of the Archbishop addressing this and basically lighting a fire among other bishops coming up and saying, yeah, he's right. We need to we have to speak up. It seems to me that he's giving courage to other bishops to say, we better put our big boy pants on and defend life. That's my take.
Well, my take is a little bit different.
Okay. Yep.
My take is I've read his letter.
Mm-hmm.
I've read the Archbishop's letter.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very good letter. Very composed logically.
Yep.
Forcefully.
Yep.
It's good. When do we begin to act?
Yeah. Actions speak louder than words.
How about some action?
Yep.
This has been going on for 40 years. God forgive me for saying this,
yeah,
but I'm going to say it. For 40 years, I've heard we're forming this committee, and then we're going to form that committee,
yeah,
and then we're going to have a meeting here, and then we're going to bring it to a conference, and then we're going to have a vote, and then we're going to... While we've got millions of children dying.
Well said.
We're trying to figure out where we're going to have the next meeting to discuss the next... What is the matter? You know... Here and there's something else. We just all Catholics are asking for is action.
Hang on, Father. We got a quick break. I want to let you follow up on this. This is good stuff.
Okay.
Actions speak louder than words. We're going to come right back
right
here on the Terry and Jesse Show with Father Charles Murr. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Father Charles Murr was in the middle of really talking about the pro-life issue of abortion, how serious this issue is, and that we need to stop just talking about it and actually do some action. So, Father Murr, continue your points here on pro-life. Oh, we lost Father Murr. Okay, well, he'll come back. No problem. So his bottom line is that when it comes to the life issues, our bishops, our priests, all of us need to stand up for life even more than just talking about it. And I would say that the movie Roe versus Wade that's out in the movie theaters right now is a great way to show people the beauty of our faith regarding pro-life. It's the story of Dr. Bernard Nathanson, who had the largest abortion clinic in the world. Oh, hey, I just realized that Gil from the men's group is on the line. Maybe I can pull him in. Gil, let's put Gil on. Let me just pull you in, Gil. Hang on.
Hey,
Gil,
hey, Terry.
Right ahead,
how you
buddy.
Doing today, man?
Yeah, good to hear from
hey,
you.
Terry, how you doing today?
I'm blessed by the best, and I wanted you to tell us a little bit about what the men's movement is doing and how people can get to some of these great events you're promoting.
Oh, man, Terry, we got some good things going on here at Catholic Men's Fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
You can follow all the events at catholicmensfellowship.org.
Okay.
Catholicmen.org. This Saturday, we have a virtual Zoom conference with Father John Scheer, mm-hmm, OSJ, from the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Bakersfield.
Good.
He is going to share with us on learning from St. Joseph how to dedicate our work to God. You can follow the link on Zoom there at our website, catholicmen.org. And then right before your conference on the 12th, we're going to have a marriage and family conference with Jesse and Anita Romero.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be up in Bakersfield,
right,
out in Bakersfield. Mm-hmm. And once again, you can register online at catholicmen.org. It'll let you go over to Eventbrite. And the seats are only $35 a person,
right,
which is $70 a couple. And you know what? They're going to talk about marriage, family, spiritual warfare. And it's for both men and women. You know, guys, if you're going to go and see Jesse on the 12th at the chapel, right, that the Our Lady of Grace, come and bring your wife on June 5th so they can get a taste of how a marriage is supposed to
awesome.
Unite and work
Gilbert,
together.
Gilbert, I appreciate it. Give me one more time because I got several things I got to get in before the end of the show. Yeah, what's the website people can go to?
CatholicMen.org, but I got one more important.
Okay, Father Charles Murr, we're back on with you.
Okay.
You were mentioning on your before the break regarding the stand-up moment for abortion, and you're saying that we bishops, the priests, all of us need to do more than talk about it.
Yeah, I really personally, this is personally speaking, I'm not speaking for the whole Roman Catholic Church,
no.
Okay? Personally speaking, I'm really tired of words and words and words.
Sure.
I'd love to see some action.
Yeah.
I'd just love to see some action. You know, and I'm going to tell you something else, too.
Tell me.
It's not my business. If I were a bishop, we were talking about not playing pretend. Let's play pretend for just a moment here.
Sure.
If I were a bishop and I had such a person, I had a person in my diocese who was who is in a position to be voting and deciding on such a grievous sin as abortion, the first thing I would do day one, I would send I'd do it in writing, a message to that person, informing that person that that person is excommunicated.
Yeah.
And inviting that person to come and see me ASAP.
Yep.
That's all.
That's a great approach.
Now,
you're real simple.
Privately.
Yeah,
I would do it privately.
Sure.
Now, if that's not heeded, there are other steps to be taken. However, what business is it of mine out here to know that there's a problem between a bishop and a person in his diocese? Deal with that person directly.
Exactly.
Personally. Tell that person, get your act together or you are excommunicated.
Right.
I'll give you 10 days. 9 days, enough time to make a novena. All right? That's it. You've got 9 days. That's it. And if at the end of 9 days, I will announce that publicly, because what you're doing is public also. It's real simple. I think we're tired. Everybody's tired of one more document.
Exactly.
Anyway, I'm sorry if I've offended anyone.
No, I think that's common sense.
That's really the way I feel.
Yeah.
And I'm tired of it.
That's charity, actually. You're giving them charity by telling them, look, because we all want them to get to heaven, and they're not going to get to heaven when they're promoting the killing of unborn babies. So that's,
you know, Terry, hell exists for a reason. God had his reason
right.
for permitting hell.
Right.
And the reason is to scare us into heaven.
Yeah, imperfect contrition gets us to heaven.
Yeah.
St. Ignatius spiritual
yeah.
exercises.
Yeah.
Well said, Father. No, that's and you know, maybe that's exactly what needs to be addressed, and that's, you know, the four last things. More of that and less of recycling, okay? I'm sorry.
But,
Lord, give me
us.
A break. Because the bottom line is, our role of the church is to get us to heaven. It might not appear that way sometimes when you see documents that have nothing to do with Jesus, but I would say let's keep praying for our leaders in our church, because now at this point, I believe that the abortion issue is the issue. It's always been the issue, but now lay people are coming up with movies like Roe versus Wade that explains how this was a bad judgment call by the Supreme Court and how people need to get involved and stand up for life. Because as I said earlier, what Bishop Sheen said, if you missed it, you just came on, he said the refusal to take sides on a great moral issue is in itself a decision. It is
That's
a
right.
silent acquiescence
right.
to evil. You participate in that evil. The tragedy of our time is that those who still believe in honesty lack the fire and conviction, while those who believe in dishonesty are full of passionate conviction. The bottom line, Father Murr, is you're trying to get us motivated to get off our spiritual couches and say, I need...
That's a nice way to put it, Terry.
Yeah, get off and stand up for life. And, you know, I share this story just because I've been around for the pro-life work since, and I think I started praying the rosary in 1977 at abortion clinics a few years ago. And I saw so much fruit where people were turned away because someone was willing to stand there and say, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to give you alternatives. And women are looking for that. If we will stand up, I'm going to make a suggestion to all of our listeners that they get involved with 40 Days for Life, get the Shield of Roses, all these good organizations. Be there in front of these clinics with your love for Christ and His church and share that with people, because this is how people are going to turn away from killing their own baby. They're looking for someone to help them make that good decision to keep their baby. So, Father Murray, you got me fired up regarding the pro-life effort.
I'm glad. I've got something to add to that, too.
Please do.
Don't think I'm finished.
No, go for it.
One thing to add to that. Recently, I don't know why it's taken all of these years, but recently, all of a sudden, it is a problem in Europe, Canada, the United States, what we would call Western developed nations.
Yep.
Population decrease.
Yep.
We're all concerned about that. As a matter of fact, there was a man in Rome just talked about it the other day. Yep. He's very concerned about the population decrease all over the place.
Yeah, think about
what's happening
why.
To Italy.
Yeah.
Well, but at the same time, while that was brought up, there was no mention of artificial birth control and of abortion.
Yep, those are the two issues.
As being causes.
Of course, it's common sense.
What am I missing?
No, you're not missing anything, and that needs to be addressed more and more.
Of course, of course.
And thank you for bringing that up. I just want to mention, Gil, who was on just a minute ago, also has a Eucharistic procession coming up at Our Lady of Guadalupe's church in Irwindale, June 20th. He had a few things he wanted to say, and that was one he didn't get to. So we appreciate that, and we want to promote it. Father Murr, let me ask you this about, we did a show last week about this whole issue about the 60-some million babies that were aborted. That we know of just abortion, but contraception really is the key problem when it comes to abortion. We've missed our mark. We've been very remiss on teaching people the real beauty of marriage, the what we call the procreative and unitive aspects of the conjugal act of a husband and wife. And it seems to me, until we get back to understanding that the purpose of this wonderful gift of what we call sexuality that God has given to us is really that unitive and procreative aspect. And I think that Humani Vitae back in 1968, when it was rejected by most of the people in the church, and I'm including bishops too, Father, you were around when that happened.
Please.
Yeah, you saw that.
Yeah.
Did you not?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So we need to have a reconvert our own church on that issue so that we can influence the culture. That's my take. I think our church needs to stand stronger on its perennial teachings of the church and stop talking about the issues of the planet. That's okay. I said it. That's what I think. What
well,
you?
You're absolutely right. Look, when there is a goal, an end or
yep.
a goal.
Exactly.
And there are the means to that end or goal.
That's right.
Unfortunately, We have in this whole issue of population control, we've switched it around. The end of sex is fun.
Exactly. Recreational
and
sex.
the means is sexual intercourse. The means is sex. Mm-hmm. The end is for an augment of love between a couple who have committed to one another before God and procreation of the human race. Those are the ends. We've taken those away, and we've said what we're saying is sex is the end.
Yep.
Have fun is the end, and take away all responsibility. Well, good luck with that, because sooner or later, the piper is waiting to be paid.
Well said, Father Murr. And Father Murr, I want to give a plug to some of your books that you've authored. Can you share with our listeners how people can get your book?
Oh, they can go to Amazon and look up my name and
Father Charles Murr.
Find it interesting, go right ahead.
Oh, you will. You'll find it interesting. I guarantee you that. And this is very important that we know our faith well. And I want to also recommend that up next today, we have Dr. Sandoval who's going to be speaking on spiritual warfare. Very important. If you can't get it on your local AM station, download our free app by going to vmpr.org, and you can listen to these shows anywhere in the world. I want to thank Father Murr for coming on. And Father Murr, my last question is, what state should we be living in?
Absolutely, the state of grace.
Amen. And we do that by staying close to Jesus and the sacraments. I encourage you this weekend, get the confession. If you had spent over 30 days, that's my prescription here at your spiritual fitness trainer. May God richly bless you and your family. And thanks for supporting us here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. God love you.